everyone. We're going to open up with a work session on House Bill 2089. Christine, could you give us a brief overview?
Yes. Mr. Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 2089 would suspend collection of unpaid tax from a taxpayer if certain conditions exist. That is, whether their income is below 200% of the federal poverty level, and they have, if they have income solely from sources that are not subject to garnishment under Chapter 18, the measure would allow the people with suspended collections to make voluntary payments. The measure directs the Department of Revenue to review a person's status every year to make sure that they're still eligible for the suspension. The revenue impact of the measure is found to be minimal, and the fiscal impact is also minimal.
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 2089 to the floor with a due pass.
Senator Boquist moves House Bill 2089 to the floor of the Oregon State Senate with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion?
No, Mr. Chair, this thing has got MOS being on our schedule already.
Well, I think it does clear up a hole we had to, in some ways, require the Department of Revenue to go after people that were in the most difficult of times, and this gives them the discretion and flexibility to deal with those individual situations and expands on that flexibility they already have. Further discussion? Seeing none, are there any objections? Seeing none, House Bill 2089 moves to the floor of the Oregon State Senate with a due pass recommendation. Senator Birchinger, we are down to you.
I knew it.
Sure.
You should have spoke up.
That'll be fine.
And Senator Edwards should be joining us momentarily. I will open up a work session on Senate Bill 61. Paul Warner. And we
are. Is Dr. Kissinger joining us?
Yes. We're going to focus today on the Dash 8s.
Kyle's gotten awful large.
I need to work on my accent. Mr. Chair, members of the committee, you have a new amendment for Senate Bill 61. It is the Dash 8. And the Dash 8 does the following things, and I do have a slight problem with it that I'll explain.
You can't.
The major elements to the Dash 8 are that it updates your list of jurisdictions, and it is the same changes as in the Dash 6, with the exception of it does not include Panama, which was the discussion you had the last work session meeting on this. So it has the Department of Revenue's recommended list with the exception of Hong Kong, the Netherlands, Switzerland, and Panama. Actually, Panama is not on their recommended list, so I should it was that decision was made in 13 not to include Panama. It also has the language allowing the elimination of income that's not attributable back to a U.S. source, which was in the Dash 6. And it puts the criteria in statute that was in the Dash 6. And we noticed, actually, when we're dealing with a very similar amendment on the House side, we do have a problem with the criteria. And I will ask the committee to do something I normally don't do, and I hope I don't get struck by lightning, but to make a conceptual amendment. On page 4 of the Dash 8s, the way that the language here in terms of the criteria is exactly the language that's in the Multi-State Tax Commission. And this is the language the Department of Revenue used for its criteria, and it appears in different forms from the other states as well. So that's what you're trying to do here, is to put that Multi-State Tax Commission language in statute. And the way that this reads is that if you look at line 22 on page 4, it says, in making the determination of which jurisdictions to recommend for inclusion, the department shall determine whether a jurisdiction is one that for the tax year has no nominal effective tax rate on the relevant income. And then it says and. And if you look at these criteria, it indicates that each one of these is an and, when it should be, each one of those should be an or. In other words, it does not have a nominal effective tax rate and one or two or three. But the conceptual amendment would be on page 25, or line 25, after and, to put in the words, meets at least one of the following. So it's, and that's the way the criteria works for the Multi State Tax Commission. You have no or nominal effective tax rate and meets at least one of the following. So that would be the conceptual language. So I would recommend that the committee adopt that conceptually. We do have this exact language in another version of this bill. So we definitely have precedent of doing it, and we can pass that on to council if that's the committee's preference.
All right. Thank you, Paul. I think we can do that.
Okay. The other issue was around the revenue impact. The revenue impact, you have that in OLIS. It's for the dash 8, and it's a slight adjustment for Panama. It's actually a little bit less than 100,000. And you can see that we've got 1 year in 15-17. So the net impact, and this is the negative impact coming from the third country adjustment, where it's not U.S. source, the additional countries add a slight increase. So the net is a negative 0.7. And then for 2 years in 17-19 and 19-21, it'd be minus 1.3. So that's the revenue impact that's associated with the dash 8.
Okay. And that so-called HP fix is in section 2.
The HP fix is the same, and it's in section 2, sub 2. And that's, you can see the language there, that on line 5 is allowing this to be eliminated from federal taxable income. So you report the income from the listed jurisdiction, and then if you can show and indicate, and this should taxpayer should be able to do this, be able to indicate that did not originate back from the U.S., then you can eliminate that income, and then it becomes the net of those two, becomes the addition to your Oregon taxable income to be apportioned back to the state.
Okay. This begins on tax years after?
Begins in tax year 2016, so that's why on the revenue impact you just have the 1 year effect for next plan.
So, Dr. Warner, do we need to do a conceptual, which is not popular with anybody, do we need to suspend the rules? I don't remember if we do or not.
Just incorporate it in the amendment in their
motion. In the amendment request. So the recommend the dash 8 amendment with a conceptual amendment.
No, it's dash 8 with a conceptual. Mr. Chair,
dash
I
eight
move.
Can we get clarity on what on the first? On the conceptual amendment,
because
I heard you say two things. I heard you say or, and then I heard you say with language one of the criteria. So I just want to make sure that we were talking about two different things. So
well, it means the same thing. It'd say one of the following, and they're listed there, so you could put or after each one. But if you just say meets one of the following. Then
okay.
that'll
and
be the
one
trick.
Of the following. Okay, got
so
it.
Meets at least one
yep.
of the following.
So, what my intent would do is to move the motion and
yeah.
then I'd add that.
And
work
meets at least one of the following.
Motion.
Yeah,
okay.
Got it.
Mr. Chair,
Senator Buffett.
I move the dash 8 amendment to SB 61 into the main bill dated 6/22/15 with the following conceptual change on line 25 of page 4. After and, adding the words meets at least one of the following hyphen.
Senator Boquist moves the dash 8 on Senate Bill 61 with a conceptual amendment on line 25 of page 4 that after and removes the hyphen and inserts the words meets at least one of the following hyphen. Is there any discussion?
Just for clarity, Mr. Chair, what it does is, as Mr. Warner said, makes the change in the conceptual amendment that only one of sub-items 1, 2, 3, 4, or 5 would have to be met, for the record.
Further discussion? Are there any objections? Seeing none.
Mr. Chair, I move SB 61 as amended with the dash 8 and the conceptual change to the floor with a due pass, and then I'll speak to the motion.
Senator Boquist moves Senate Bill 61 as amended to the floor of the Oregon State Senate with a due pass recommendation. Senator Boquist.
Mr. Chair, just for the record, this is obviously, or I assume this bill is going to pass out of committee and most likely pass across the Senate floor. However, it is on a same tracks for a head-on collision with House actions on the far side that just came out of SB 925. So at some point, we're going to have to reconcile our differences with our colleagues in the House or not.
Thank you. Further discussion? I agree. It's a bicameral chamber, and we're doing the best we can to make a, I think, is a fairly surgical fix to this larger policy that we adopted in 2013, and a policy that's based on income that will go away were we to reform our corporate tax structure with a different form of taxation that hopefully we will still study in the interim. Further discussion? Are there objections? Seeing none, Senate Bill 61, as amended, goes to the floor of the Oregon State Senate with a due pass recommendation, and I will be the carrier.
Mr. Chair, I thought the dash 8 was from Senator Birchsugar. I should have made him carrier.
We're going down the line here. Senator Edwards, did you want to vote on 2089?
Sure.
Without objection, to suspend the rules and reconsider the vote by which we voted out, voted on House Bill 29. Senator Edwards, how do you vote?
On House Bill 2089, I vote yes.
Oh, so we had one yes vote on that bill. Huh. Okay. Okay. Close the work session.
Well played.
We posted at 8:15 for the
8:15.
So we got until 9:15.
Oh, okay. Well, committee, we have a housekeeping chore here to move for relating clause purposes only, Senate Bill 929 to the Joint Tax Credit Committee. And it didn't get posted until 8:15, so we need an hour's notice. So we will remain at ease or go to recess and come back here at promptly at 9:15, if that's okay, just to vote it over.
Mm-hmm. Is there a last minute?
Okay. So we'll stand in recess.
No, I don't think so.
Senate Bill 929.
Mr. Chair, I move Senate Bill 929 without recommendation as to passage, and that the bill be referred to the Joint Committee on Tax Credits, and then I'll speak to my motion.
Senator Boquist moves 929 to the Joint Tax Credit Committee. Discussion, Senator Boquist.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Obviously, the intent here is to send SB 929 and its relating clause to the Joint Tax Committee in hopes of reaching some sort of agreement with our colleagues in the House. I'm not sure this carrot and stick approach is going to work, and after what the House of Representatives has just done on SB 925, I'm not sure this is a good idea. But since we're all on the deck chairs of the Titanic, and so far we haven't been led astray by the chair of Senate Revenue, I'll go ahead and support this. I just hope that it has a positive conclusion.
Is it the motion without recommendation?
Right. No.
Thank you. Further discussion? Okay. Any objections? Seeing none. So ordered, 929 without recommendation, will be moved to the Joint Committee on Tax Credits. Nothing else before us. I'm not sure this is our last meeting, but stay tuned.
There's a great bill.
See you all.
I don't think
we have a few things may come up, a few things may be in the pipeline, and we'll see you later today. We are adjourned.
Later today, see?
See how we support our chair.
Later today, see?
See how we support our chair.